home for the Huskies.
Touchdown, Washington!
The Kraken.
In the slot, he scores!
And the Sounders. Sports Radio 950, KJR AM and KJR FM HD2, Seattle. An iHeart Radio station. Available everywhere on your free iHeart Radio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
Now, Buddy Landell, it's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
We are in the second hour of the old radio program. It's Puck and the go-to guy, Jim Moore. It's a Flair Friday. It's a Drag Your Ass Friday. We're broadcasting from the Fat Zacks Woodfire Pizza Studio, fatzackspizza.com. Two locations, Sumner and Puyallup. Third one in South Hill on the way. Food trucks all around the South End. $1,000 donation to the Ronald McDonald House, totaling $26,650. A Factor Fiction coming up bottom of the hour. Also, we got a tweet of the day, 1145, 1205, Chris Egan. We'll stop on by to share his sunshine. Also, 1230 today, Puck the Picker is back, but we're adding something new to Puck the Picker. The Smoking Lock of the Week.
The Smoking Lock of the Week.
So usually we would do five games for Puck the Picker. We'll pare it down to one. And then
Sure you want to do that? You want to go down to one?
Sure, it's easy. Because then we'll have the listener pick between ours.
All right.
And then, Jim, so we'll pick two different games. The listener then will decide which game they like more. And if they win, then they'll get the $25. So it's Puck the Picker against the Jim Moore, the Smoking Lock.
So if they were to pick mine and it lost and yours won and they didn't pick it,
They don't get it. Yeah.
Okay.
They've got to win.
All right.
Hey, we don't got a lot of these gift cards. You could be giving them all away.
I like Factor Fiction, too, but I'm really looking forward to this because I want to,
You want to take me
I'm
out?
I'm a real competitive guy.
Well, I can tell.
I might be a beta male, but boy, when it comes to picking games.
God, you just jumped out the opportunity. Anyone said that you jumped all down Chris's throat when about that game of horse.
Yeah. He doubts, just as much as you doubt that he can dunk a basketball, he doubts that I could beat him at horse.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's see both of it. You got money on the line. Let's go. You could be $200 richer.
I'm ready.
No, you're not. You if you were ready, you would do it today instead of yesterday.
Let
you
me dunk, rephrase. Like, I'm ready for the horse.
I need a year to train.
Can you shoot threes?
Absolutely. We should call my man, Donald Watts. He will back me up on that for sure.
Your man, Donald Watts.
Yeah, I trained with him. He was the one that got me to where I'm at.
Okay. Well, then let's go. What are we waiting for?
Nothing.
We got a gym. Let's go to Donald's gym. I mean, I don't know what the hang-up is here. And you can put the money to charity.
Chris, I do have to confess something to you, though.
What's up?
When I worked at the PI, I wrote a column about playing a game of horse with Sue Bird. And I swear, I went there to the practice facility. I knew I was going to beat Sue Bird in horse.
How bad she beat you?
It was horse to nothing. And the reason, listen, I've got an excuse. She was in a meeting. There was a long meeting.
Yep.
I got there like at 1 o'clock. I thought we were going to play at
1:15. Shut yourself out.
I did. I got tired. And then she saw that I was, horrible. Like, I'm not good at mid-range. I don't like shooting, 12-footers.
Oh, that's my money.
She's a professional basketball player.
I know she's a professional basketball player.
There's no way you were going to
beat her. I can shoot.
Doesn't matter.
I'm telling you, I can shoot. You haven't seen a 64-year-old who can shoot like me.
I don't care.
I can shoot, but not the mid-range.
Professional basketball.
You know what I do, Chris? Like, I kind of short-arm those 12-footers because I like getting out beyond the circle there.
You sound like these guys, and I bet you this guy subscribes to it.
Oh, boy. Don't do this.
Well, the state champion 3A team could beat the Seattle Storm.
Oh, hell no.
Ain't a chance in bleeping hell.
No, there's a chance in bleeping hell.
No
way. They would lose, but they would lose.
No way. Who won the 3A championship this year? I don't even remember.
Basketball?
Did they even have it? They didn't have it last year.
Yeah.
Whoever it was 2 years ago. Garfield.
Garfield, yeah. Garfield or Rainer beat one of the two.
Not a chance. Sue Bird and Brianna Stewart would obliterate those kids. Obliterate them.
Okay, what would the final score be? What would be the spread?
70-40. 70-45.
I'd give them 55. I'd say minus 15.5, and I would take The Storm.
Okay, if they played 10 games, how many would the Storm win?
10 out of 10.
If they played 100 games.
They'd probably 100 get 100 out of 100. They'd probably get one.
I'm here to tell you they'd win one out of 100.
I think they would win one.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Because Sue Bird and Brianna Stewart and the rest of the starters tore their ACLs. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
All right. I would like to watch that. What would you pay to watch that? That'd be fun.
Well, you have to get the Storm to even want to do that.
Hey, they would never agree to it.
But if they did, I would pay good money.
Yeah.
It'd be entertaining.
Okay, all right. Chris, I want a piece of you, Chris.
Yeah, Watt. Just call Watts. He's got his gyms open. Let's go.
Thing is, what do I have to lose? Like, if I lose horse to nothing, just like Sue Bird, it's like, well, you know what? I'm 64.
You have $100.
But you should have seen me at Redmond back in 74.
I bet you were great back in
the day. No, I wasn't. Chris, I scored 7 points a whole year.
Seven.
It's better than me.
7 points more than anybody else. all right. What do we got today? The headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. No Kraken game today. Tomorrow they'll be in Columbus taking on the Blue Jackets. 3:30 pregame. And then 4 o'clock the puck will drop with Ian. Mike Benton will have the pregame for you. That game will be on 1090 tomorrow. 1090 KJR and KZOK 102.5. Just a reminder, because we have Huskies tomorrow. They're kicking things off. It's homecoming over there at Montlake. 5 o'clock kick, 1 o'clock pregame with Softy and the Bunch.
Yeah, so they got like the Husky Honks, right?
1 o'clock tomorrow, the
so
Honks.
So who is it this year? Cam Cleland, Lewis?
Greg Lewis, Baird, Softy, and Cam jumps in and out.
He jumps in and out?
Yeah.
So when he's out, can I jump in? Do you think Softy
sure.
would let me?
Yeah, ask him ask him. Sure, he'd love to have you on.
I'm sure Dick Baird would love to have me, too.
Well, I mean, it'd be actually two Cougs on the pregame show.
That's true.
But you don't disown your university.
He was one of the cardiac kids over
I know.
There.
Yeah. I know.
I used to get, you know what? I love Dick Baird.
Who doesn't love
I
Dick Baird?
I absolutely love Dick Baird, but I always used to give him a hard time about that.
Well, don't bring that up because he gets too sensitive about it.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, his kid gave me a hard time about it once.
I've stopped doing it.
I felt bad when his kid gave me a hard time. Yeah. And Dick explained it to me, and the way he explained it was perfectly fine.
Sure. That's fine.
Yeah. That he wasn't offered a coaching job at Washington State, and he was at Washington, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't bring it up.
Well,
I learned my lesson.
How'd that go?
I was scared.
Were you?
I was scared.
No, the thing is that I've always loved Dick, though.
Well, who did? Again, Baird's like the Groz, man. I'm telling you. They're the same person. All right, fact or fiction coming up bottom of the hour. We'll get to that in a second. Actually, you know what? I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable how you covered that yesterday. You weren't watching the game live because you were doing other stuff. And I'm texting. I'm wondering, where the hell are you at? That thing looked like it was going to be a 42-7 game. It was so bad. And thank God they came back and rallied. It was 28. Was it 28-7 or 21-7 at some point? I think it was 28-7. They come storming back through the Eagles. And they end up covering the damn game because they get the best two-point conversion in betting history. Nick Sirianni is the head coach of the Eagles. So they score to make it 21-13.
It was 28-14. 28 they scored to make it 28-20, and most coaches in the NFL or in college football would probably have gone for the point after.
Well, yeah, and I know the analytics will say, well, if you go for it there and you don't get it, then you can score again and then get the two-point conversion. But what I don't understand about that line of thinking is, well, wait a minute. If you just kick the extra point now and make it a 7-point game, if you go down and score, then you give yourself two options. Don't you?
Yeah. It's common sense what you're saying, they'd throw analytics in front of you and show you why, because there are more coaches out there, just still a minority of coaches that are doing that, but you're seeing that more.
But don't you think there's more you don't get the 2-point conversion there, so you're down 8. Don't you think at that point then there's more pressure to go down and score again and then get the 2-point conversion at that point, rather than if you kick the extra point? Well, now listen, Sirianni, I'm glad that he did it. Because it helps us out in fact or fiction. But if you kick the extra point, that situation, make it a 7-point game. If you do then get the ball back and you score, then you have the option. I either can tie the game up, we can go into overtime because we're at home. Don't you generally like to go to overtime at home? Or we go for the win.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
You always used to hear these guys talking about you don't go for two until you have to go for two. And that wasn't a have-to-go-for-two situation. And yet, things are changing, and I'm glad they changed in our favor last night.
Oh,
because
my God.
I had the Eagles plus +7. And that's one of those games where you have to remember when you get a bad beat.
No, right.
That was one where there's no way we should have won that one.
There is no.
I like to think, though, that it was all the research that I put into picking the Eagles plus +7.
No,
that,
your only research was you don't like Tom Brady. That was the only thing that you were like, and eventually it's got to fall apart for him. That was your research.
And did he play well?
Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played well.
Did he?
Oh,
again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He played great. He's just great.
I was so happy, though.
He was great. Antonio Brown looks better now than he did with Pittsburgh. He's all over the place. Their Eagles defense is terrible. I don't know how the Eagles came back. The only thing I can think of is that the Bucs just kind of got bored and said, all right, whatever. We're just going to kind of give up.
Yeah.
Because that's basically kind of what happened.
I was so happy, though, when I got a text from my buddy, and he says, this is why I don't gamble. Do you hear what happened at this Thursday night game?
Yes.
The Eagles went for two.
And so you're not watching it. The best part about it, so the Bucs are driving down. The Eagles are spending timeouts because they're trying to conserve time.
This is after they got it within
28-22. The line is 7. Hell, even Joe Buck, who I think never talks about gambling, starts talking about gambling early on. Aikman's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But they all you're hoping for at this point is, my God, Leonard Fournette, please don't break one off. They get down to, the 10 or 9 yard line. And
how much time was left then?
Third and one, a little over 2 minutes.
So you need them to pick up one more first down without getting a touchdown.
One more first down, because then it's a 2 minute warning. The Eagles are out of timeouts. Brady does a quarterback sneak, gets the first down, so doesn't hand it off. Fournette doesn't score or whoever. And then I'm like, are they going to run one more play, or are they just going to take a knee? And they just take a knee and are like.
Because what is it, 2 minutes? When you're 2 minutes, if the other team doesn't have three timeouts or any timeouts, then you can just run it out.
It was over.
Well, it just makes it more entertaining, doesn't it? I had $40 on the Eagles last night, so I won that. But I had 20 on them on the money line, so I lost that. But even if you're not betting on it, like that Cleveland Chargers game.
Yeah.
Where Cleveland helped Eckler into the end zone.
Sure.
Because that was the only way that they were going to be able to win, and yet they lost on the point spread as a result of that because Cleveland was getting 2.5, they lost by 5.
They should have just taken a knee. I still don't understand what they were doing. Just take a knee.
Well, move it over for your kicker.
Right.
And then take a knee.
Right. And then just, kick it. Well, whatever. Yeah, it makes it entertaining. It's why I was really in tune with the Kraken game last night for the total. It was 5.5. Let's get over the total, which they did, and they won the game. It was great. No, gambling at the end of games makes it a hell of a lot more entertaining. And it was a great 2-point conversion. It hurts to Quez Watkins. What a combination.
Well, and then for the point spread to be right on that 2-point conversion,
I don't know
the other. If they don't make it, then all the Bucks bettors cash in. They make it, and all the Eagles bettors do.
Everyone was upset. Pat McAfee was losing his mind on Twitter because he obviously had the Bucks minus the 7. It was great. Great to fall. Hey, we talked to Joel Corey earlier today, and we were talking about the contract situation really with Adams, but also Russell Wilson. Hugh, when we had Hugh on this week, I pulled this little clip out of it because I thought it was interesting. I didn't think about it, how the next 3 weeks could change, maybe in a small way, a little bit, of how we view Russell Wilson. And Hugh kind of laid it all out, and I want to react to it because I'm curious. It's more how fans would perceive what, and we're fans, how we would perceive the next 3 weeks with Geno Smith at quarterback. Here's Hugh with us on Wednesday at 12:05.
I feel like maybe the support for Russell in some circles, not all circles, but in some circles of the Seahawk Nation, if Geno comes in and goes 3-0, like you're saying, and he plays well, now it's Russell's job. When Russell is healthy, it's Russell's job. But there could be a little bit of a reshaping of how we assess Russell now. Not the Russell from the earlier in the career. We're talking about the Russell that hasn't taking the Seahawks, advancing them into the NFC Championship in quite some time. And so, on some low level, I think that Now, if he goes 1-2 or 0-3 and he sucks, we're going to say, look, this shows the importance of Russell Wilson. Look, you know, they're a 4-win team without Russell Wilson. Like, so I just think that somehow, some way, coming out of this, we're going to have our opinion of Russell tweak just a little bit.
Yeah.
If not moderately so.
You think that? You think Geno Smith goes 3-0?
I mean, no, I think he's right.
They're not hard opponents. If they go 3-0, does it for – and he's not talking about how the team, not Schneider and Carroll. He's talking about us. Are we going to be skewed how we view Russell Wilson? Let me lay out the perfect scenario for you. Geno Smith comes out there, and for the next three games, and the offense has not been good this year. You know, really with Wilson, because you can point to his quarterback rating or his passer rating. It's great. I think it's leading the NFL. Stat-wise, he looks great. Do you think he's playing all that great this year? Like, I don't think he is. He doesn't look good. I mean, the offense has been mediocre.
Well, he doesn't look good compared to what we know he can look like.
But do you think the offense has been mediocre?
Yeah, it's just it's kind of amusing to me a little bit,
right?
Because I just always think of it in terms of how Brian Schottenheimer's looking at things. And was it so bad when he was here? And then you're supposed to have all these new bells and whistles with this young kid coming in. Well, 42, he's young to me. Coming in and supposed to be doing all these different things with the L.A. Rams offense.
I think most people would admit it just kind of looks mediocre this year.
Yeah.
Now, that it would fly in the face of what his stats show. His stats show that he's having a great season. Great season. But then when you look at overall what they're doing, I mean, they just don't look, I don't know, they're kind of middle of the road in terms of points average. They're averaging 24 points a game. I want to look at total yards, what they're doing in total yards on offense. Where are they at? 351, just above Washington.
What would you sense where the fan base is with Russell Wilson? It used to be 100%, but don't you think it's like 85 to 90% now?
Yeah. They're 6 yards shy in total offense to the Denver Broncos, Broncos of all teams. The running the ball, they're not, I mean, the running wise, remember that was supposed to be the big improvement this year for them, right? They average 104 yards on the ground. That's basically the same as the Detroit Lions.
That's got to be killing Pete.
I mean, they're kind of mediocre. So I'm just curious, if he goes, Geno Smith goes 3-0 and looks fantastic in this offense, and the offense is operating in the way that the offense should be operated, right?
The way it did on that 98-yard drive.
Yeah. You think fans will be skewed how they view Russell Wilson?
Oh, without question. I mean, fans are already skewed a little bit. My mom's husband was talking about that, about how that offense looked crisper and sharper with Geno Smith out there, and whether that was just the Rams kind of having a change in their defense when Geno Smith came in, and you know, he's not going to do the damage that Russell can, or whatever it might be. Maybe the Steelers will be preparing for Geno Smith and he'll look terrible. But yeah, no, you're right. If he comes out there and they go 3-0 and the offense looks even sharper with Geno Smith instead of Russell Wilson out there, when Russ comes back, if he misses a few passes.
Or, you know, I mean
are there going to be a few boos?
The thing with Russell, I was talking, I had lunch yesterday with old Jerry Brewer, and he and I were talking about this. He still just does not do the easy passes, which this offense requires. The little dump to the running backs, the dump to the five. He never will take 5 yards.
Well, what was the game that Pete talked about that after the game?
That was the...
The Tennessee loss. Yeah, and then so Pete was just wanting him to take the checkdowns, and then Russell wasn't on board with that.
He wants the big play. He always wants the big play downfield. That's what he wants. He wants to scramble around and hit it 50 yards downfield. You're going to see something. I don't know how effective it will be on Sunday, but Geno Smith is not going to do that because that's just one. He doesn't have really necessarily the skill set to do that. He's going to operate it probably a little bit differently. It's going to look a lot different. He's going to take more of those little 5-yard completions.
Can you imagine if he does go 3-0 and then Russell comes back and he's a little rusty and he misses a few passes?
People
and
booing
some
him.
Some of the 12.
Gino.
And yet, that's a guy, all of this happens, that's a guy who has a career record of 12-19 with the Jets. I think he was with the Giants for a little while. 30 touchdown passes and 37 interceptions. So you don't look at Geno Smith. He's a backup for a reason. So,
yeah.
But no, I think you're right about that, though, because I don't think everybody's completely on board with Russell the way they used to
be. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think this is unfair. And
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because whatever. Because I think it's fair, actually.
Raise your hand if you think it's douchey he's out there practicing.
Oh, my God.
Come on. It's and a little
throwing
douchey.
Passes left-handed.
Oh, Mike. And he's on the injury report.
Take it easy, Puck.
He is not. Come on.
Take it easy.
I know.
Take it easy.
I know.
He's right
wrong.
On that one, Chris. Get him off the field.
He's not going
to
play.
Get him over to the sideline. What's he doing?
Oh, it's the
for crying out loud, he named his son Wynn. He wants to do it.
Oh, that's ridiculous, too.
It is, but
I mean,
it's
that
Russell.
Whole thing, I didn't say anything when I in a previous job, but I mean, naming your kid Wynn. Come on. Well, when he did that, I thought, well, that's cool. You know, W-Y-N-N. Yeah, named it after a casino. But W-I-N.
Russell Wilson, degenerate gambler.
What kind of pressure do you have if you're a kid named Wynn?
Can we just go back to how douchey it is? He's practicing, and they actually put him on the injury report as if he's going to play in the game.
Got to keep him guessing.
Limited participant. He's throwing left-handed, and it's only out there. I'd like to know what he's actually doing when the, I don't know, cameras aren't there. Ah, come on. A little douchey.
No.
Okay. No. So I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but
I'm the a-hole here.
No.
Well,
I am too. Then.
I guess we both.
Yeah. Go ahead and just be on the sidelines. Hold the clipboard. Let Geno do his thing.
Look at me.
It's Russell Wilson.
I'm running through drills.
Throwing left-handed passes.
Oh, look at.
Stay ready, so you ain't got to get ready. That's Russ's mentality.
Who's the best left-handed quarterback in NFL history? Steve Young. I'm Steve Young.
Kenny Stabler.
Oh my goodness.
Stabler over Young?
Nah, probably not, but yeah. I love Kenny Stabler.
Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino Entertainment Capital of the Northwest. Coming up next. Yeah. Fact or Fiction coming up in 3 minutes. I don't know which direction I'm going yet because I'm all over the place. I have a game in mind, but I'm getting cold feet.
So what's your – do you have a second game?
I do not.
You know what I was looking at? And this isn't my game, but I was looking at it.
Has anyone taken tonight's game?
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah,
Oregon's given, what, 13 and a half?
13 and a half, Cal. Bucky took it.
Well, he took Oregon, right? He's an Oregon guy.
Yes, he took Oregon.
All right.
I still can't believe you got that factor. I was ready just to kill you. God, I was
ready. Oh, you were going to kill me over a missed pick.
I mean, just like, come on. Like, it just looked so bad in the beginning of the game. It's just like, oh, my God. It's so, like, Jalen Hurts. First of all, I don't know what the Eagles are doing. This is not Eagle Sports Radio. I have no idea what they're doing. They have Miles Sanders, a good running back. They don't let him touch the ball at all. It's like the Jalen Hurts show. Like, I just have no idea what they're doing offensively. It's
well, and
the
then was it that their defense was that bad or that Tampa Bay's offense is that good?
Eagles' defense pretty bad. Pretty bad. Yeah. Pretty bad. I mean, it's Tom Brady. He's over there just, you know, Antonio Brown looked like the fountain of youth, man.
So they've got, one of my kids was showing me something. Dad, look at the Bucs receivers. What do they have? They have Godwin, Brown, and who's the
Evans.
Other guy? Oh, and Evans, yeah.
I mean, Gronk
they're
didn't
all,
play yesterday.
They're all around. They're all around 500 yards receiving through, what, six games. Yeah. So they're all going to be over 1,000
yards. Hell, maybe
yards.
Sherman was right. Maybe there's more talent on that team.
Sherman got hurt last night.
I did.
Yeah, he's going to be out a couple weeks.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, so I'm looking for a second game. I don't know. You know what? I don't have time to look for the second game, so I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm just going to go with the one I want to take.
Do you have, like, Puck the Picker music or anything?
Well, we'll do that at 12:30.
Oh, 12:30.
Yeah, it's 11:30. Yeah, we're not on.
What are we doing?
We're not on Mountain Time.
What
right
are we
now.
Doing here? Oh,
we're waiting to do Fact or Fiction.
Oh, this segment is blank.
Yeah, well, all the segments are blank, Jim. That's how we like to leave it. The entire just every segment we do is blank. Hey, How bad was that? Did you see the baseball game live? Did you see the play?
No, I heard about the check swing that wasn't a strike, and it was called a strike.
Oh, my God.
With Flores?
Yeah, Wilmer Flores. Oh, my God. That's the worst call. One of the worst calls ever in baseball history.
He didn't even come.
You know, it's subjective, right?
Was it the last out of the game?
Last out of the game, yeah. Subjective and all that. But the first base umpire, Gabe Morales, it wasn't even close. I mean, to the point it wasn't even close, I can't even believe they actually went to first base to get the ruling on it. That the home plate umpire should have been, there's not even close. I'm not even going to go down there to first base. It was so bad. But my favorite part was after the game. So Flores, or excuse me, Morales, is interviewed by the – were you ever a pool reporter?
No.
Okay, so no, people probably don't know what a pool reporter is. When you want to go talk to an official after the game, before the game, baseball, football, NBA, whatever, they deem one person of all the reporters. So Jim Moore, we've elected you today to be the pool reporter. So if there's any officiating questions, I'm just telling the audience this, then Jim has to go down there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever questions the reporters want asked, he's got to ask them to the officials. So the pool reporter goes down there. He talks to Morales. They ask him, he said, and Morales said, check swings are one of the hardest calls we have. He said, you know, it's subjective, which I agree. It's kind of hard because everyone has a different interpretation if you go around or not. It's a swing. The pool reporter then asked him, said, have you seen the replay? And Morales says, yeah, I have. And the reporter goes, what'd you think? And that's when the crew chief, Ted Barrett, jumped in and said, quote, he doesn't want to say.
Wow, stepped in for him.
That was the actual quote, and they said, yeah, we're done here.
So he was probably getting ready to say, I might have missed that one.
Well, I think he was clear to say, yeah, I screwed it up. Which they should just let him say, you know what? I blanked it up.
Yeah.
I screwed up. It's fine. I mean, no one's going to – I don't lose my mind over it. Other people, this is why we need robot umpires. No, we don't.
Would you rather hear that, though, if you're a Giants fan? Like, okay, the guy admitted that he was wrong, but we're still not going to be playing the Braves.
It doesn't make me feel any better, but yeah. I mean, and I think these guys should be more accountable after a game. You know, players have got to answer question after question. Why'd you drop the ball? Why'd you throw the interception?
Well,
if an umpire screws up, he should have to answer why he screwed up.
Should that be allowed in the future?
It should be reviewable. It should be reviewable, which they're going to change in the offseason. I bet you $100.
You know what I can't stand is when a guy steals a base or someone's sliding in.
They go to replay.
The guy stole the base, but he somehow overslides a little bit and might just be off the bag for a fraction of a second. But no, if that glove is right on him and he's out.
I agree with you. All right, let's get to a fact or fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino.
It's time for fact.
Just the fact, Jack. That's a fact, Jack.
Or fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
God almighty.
Oh, somebody already had the
game. Well, someone already took it, but they took the under.
What's that, on the Huskies Bruins?
Yeah, I was going to take the Husky game. But I just remember Jackson took the total on it, so I can't take the line.
What did he take? He took under
he
what?
He took the under. Oh, God, I don't even know what to take now. This is going to be the worst. Literally, that was the one game I had planned.
Take Utah.
No, that's already been taken.
Oh.
I'm in college football right now, so we might as well go college football. Jesus, this is going to be terrible.
You can't take the Friday night game then. How about Arizona, Colorado?
Friday night game.
Colorado should not be favored over anybody, including Arizona.
You like Arizona?
Yeah, I would take Arizona in the six,
really?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, let's do it.
Really? I talked you into it that easily?
I don't care. I was thrown off on it because I forgot that Jackson had taken the other damn game. Let's take, this is the worst pick in fact or fiction history.
Bear down.
We're taking the Arizona Wildcats plus 6.5 on the road against Colorado. I'm going to apologize right now to everyone that's listening. I'm sorry.
Text in fiction.
I was thrown off today because I had a game circled all week long. And I just remembered that Jackson had already taken the lease because we're not supposed to take the same game. Even though it's a different bet. I'm not going to get it.
And you're the one who complains the most about
that.
So you don't want to violate that.
I don't want to violate the rule. Yeah. So we're taking Arizona. The Wildcats plus 6.5 on the road against Colorado. Both teams are terrible. I think maybe Arizona's not as bad as Colorado is.
When are they playing this thing? Is that the 11 a.m. Pac-12 game?
I'm going to put a healthy chunk of change that this is probably on the Pac-12 network.
Yeah.
Right? 7:30 maybe on the Pac-12 network?
Well, 12:30 Pac-12.
Oh, 12:30. We got prime time.
Yeah. I'm probably leading you astray here, and the reason being is because I'm in a Pac-12 fantasy football pool, and I've got the Colorado quarterbacks.
Okay.
And they have been awful.
Yeah, we're going to take the Arizona Wildcats plus 6.5 on the road against Colorado. If you like that pick, and I'm going to acknowledge right now, it's the worst pick I've ever made in fact or fiction. Text fact to 49451, fiction to 49451. Please don't yell at me whichever way you go. I'm sorry. But bear down. In honor of... Dick Tome.
Well, see, but it can be, even if it's a losing pick, if you text in fiction, you're going to, people will love you for making a bad pick.
Some will win, some will lose.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you win, you really lose. Sometimes when you lose, you really win. And sometimes when you tie, you tie.
I would encourage people to text in fact on that one, though, because I know a little bit about Colorado, and they've been horrible, although they almost beat Texas A&M.
Let's go.
Which beat Alabama. Right.
Wildcats +6.5 on the road against Colorado. +6.5. Fact to 49451. Fiction to 49451. Tweet of the day coming up next. What are you doing back there? Remixing?
They had it programmed for 18 seconds. It's supposed to be just one.
Get it together, Shockey. Jesus. Let's go. Puck the Picker coming up at 12:30 with special guest with the smoking lock of the week with Jim Moore. So we're doing one game each. And in that game, I can take the game I want to take, where I really wanted to take the Bruins.
But you couldn't points. Because it's already taken with factor
fiction. And Shockey
fiction.
Said I could have taken it because it's a spread, but I went. Because Feltz took the under. But there's so much confusion going on with that whole contest. I just decided to stay out of the fray. So we took the Arizona Wildcats.
Well, I'm not sure.
I kind of feel bad that I talked you into that. I only had one game really written down, and then when it got to the point we're running out of time, I had to make a pick, so we just had to make it. Whatever. We lose. Who cares? I don't care.
Are we getting a lot of fictions on that one?
Shockey said we took the Wildcats +6.5 on the road against Colorado, which is the worst game ever picked in this contest. He said early on, 39.7% say fact.
Well, Colorado has no business being favored over anyone, and that includes the Bear Downs.
Didn't Arizona play okay against the Bruins for a bit?
They hung in there for a while.
Come on, Jed Fish, let's go.
Have you ever heard of a round robin parlay? I had five teams on Saturday in a round robin parlay, and what you do is you bet, like I bet, I think $4, and you get
three of the five have to hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, three of the five have to hit. I was at 4 for 4, and I had Arizona plus.
Do you get a bonus if it's you hit all five?
Yeah, I would have won like $300.
Oh,
something like that.
Come on, Fish.
Yeah, but they in the fourth quarter it didn't go so well for the Wildcats.
Kind of fell apart.
Yeah, I mean they came close.
Yeah, they're damn right. So Puck the Picker and smoking lock of the week with Jim Moore, the go-to guy, coming up at 12:30. Same contest. We'll each pick a game. You decide which game you like the most. If you win, you get $25 there to Georgetown Brewery. Tweet of the day. Have you ever had... Our tweet of the day is going to come from Rex Chapman. You follow him on Twitter. Rex Chapman's always got funny videos that he's posting left and right.
I don't follow him, but I see the retweets or likes, yeah. And so I see him a lot. Where does he get all of his stuff?
I don't know. Have you ever had a surprise birthday party? Done for you?
I have not.
You never have. Chris, no. Have you ever had a surprise birthday party done for you?
I don't think so.
Okay. I've had it once, and it sucked because I figured out before it happened. But then when it did happen and I knew it was going to happen, I acted surprised.
Was it like on your 30th or 40th?
40th birthday party. My 40th. Wife threw a great 40th birthday party. It was wonderful. Down at Georgetown Brewery was great. It was awesome. But I had figured out.
How'd you find out?
I think I had accidentally seen a text or an email or something.
Did you fake like you were surprised?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's what you should do.
And I fake a lot with my wife.
Do you? Think she fakes a lot with you?
Every time. So on the tweet of the day from Rex Chapman, it's pretty funny video. It's the ring. What?
What?
Fake all the time.
Where am I working?
I don't know. It's you know, the ring video. It's the ring video picks this up of a surprise birthday party that was supposed to take place. And I'm setting up the video. There's a guy outside, looks a younger guy like a son, sitting on the porch of the surprise birthday party of this guy, looks like an uncle that is coming up to the surprise birthday party. The uncle, it's the surprise birthday party for the uncle, the guy walking up.
Okay.
Like the son's on the porch. And then he sees his uncle walking up for his surprise birthday party.
How are you the last one to show up to your own party? That is messed up.
What party?
Your birthday party. What are you talking about?
Do it.
What?
Surprise party.
Surprise party?
Are you drunk?
course I am. It's a party.
You guys can come out. Derek messed us up. Seriously.
Where did I was wondering where all the cars were.
How stupid can you be?
Thanks a lot, Derek. So Derek, who was sipping on granddaddy's cough medicine, the kid was getting liquored up on the porch. He sees, I'm just assuming it's his uncle walking up. Uncle John, last one to show up to the party. What party? So good.
He wasn't clued in at all.
Oh, God. Derek just looks like one of those guys, you know, he's not carrying a full, you know.
Not a full deck there.
Not a full deck. Oh, God. And then the wife comes out, or the mom of Derek. She's mad as hell. She's been probably been planning this for weeks and months for the old uncle or brother.
I was wondering where all the cars were.
Oh, God. It's good. Yeah. But a good surprise party when you get somebody. That's good, man. That's good stuff.
Oh.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, top of the hour, with the Prince of Puyallup, Chris Egan. His top story of the day is brought to you by Farm Fresh Northwest. He stops on by. He spreads his joy and wisdom. We'll find out what the big game is tonight there on King 5. Also, Puck the Picker and a brand-new Smoking Lock of the Week by Jim Moore coming up at 12:30.